Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Reproduce Yourself, Principles of Disciple Making. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, the journey of discipleship. Let's read our text, Matthew 28, beginning at verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Life is a journey from birth to death on an adventurous pathway. We never know what is around the corners of life. Wouldn't it be great if we could see what's coming? Christians walk the same path, yet have more assurance. Why? Because three disciplines make life's journey a guided tour. First, a journey of uncertainty requires direction. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is our direction to be as Christians? Well, look at the verses before that, verses 12 and 13. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. It's the direction of discipleship, developing an intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ. Go back even two more verses, verses 10 and 11. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death by any means, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Discipleship involves obedience. Matthew chapter 28, our text. Become a Christian, a believer, a disciple. Verse 19, make disciples. Be baptized. Also verse 19, baptizing them. This is the first step of discipleship and the first act of obedience. Be obedient. Verse 20, teaching them to observe. Obedience to Christ's commands is the means to develop as a disciple. Yet, it's a very costly commitment. Discipleship involves commitment. Disciple in the Greek is mathetes, meaning pupil, learner, apprentice. A learner is to become like his teacher. Luke 6, verse 40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Yet there are levels of commitment. Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple, quote, secretly for fear of the Jews. John 19, verse 38. John 8, 31. Those who abide in Jesus' word are his disciples indeed. Discipleship is a journey of learning of the Lord and becoming like him, progressing in level of commitment and understanding. It involves failures and successes. Discipleship requires direction. John identified Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 29, verse 34. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." John pointed disciples to Jesus, verses 35 and 39 through 39. Again, the next day, John stood and the two disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. Andrew pointed Peter to Jesus. Verse 42. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated as stone. Jesus called Philip. Verse 43, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Philip pointed Nathanael to Jesus. Verses 44 and 45. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Jesus knew they needed direction. John the Baptist knew they needed direction. As disciples, we must learn all that we can of Jesus to give direction to others. And then second, a journey of performance requires dedication. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Performance speaks of maturity. More leading roles. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. "But solid food belongs to those who are of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Disciples must make a deeper commitment. They had placed their trust in him, yet they were still living the same way. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 22. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And then they immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." Now they were called to a change in commitment. "Follow me, fishers of men." How did they respond to the call? They made the commitment. They left and followed him. And yet, they still had to make a greater dedication to go beyond the old way of life. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net.' And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.' And so when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." They were still holding back. They were called to surrender. What did they do? They forsook all and followed him. Disciples must learn the cost of discipleship. Look at Matthew 16. they would be Jesus' agents. So they had to learn the cost. Verses 13 to 20, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. So they would be Jesus' agents. They must accept God's will. Look at verse 21 down to verse 23. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. And then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, that this should happen to you. This shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." So they must accept God's will and they must follow God's plan. Verse 24 down to verse 28. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Until that point, they didn't understand that following Jesus meant a life that involved suffering. Submission to God's will is what it's all about. And then third, a journey of endurance requires strength. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Strength to endure does not come from within us. Consider Peter's futile attempt at keeping his word. John chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. Now Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter, this is after Jesus was arrested, was bringing to meet with the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. And then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. And then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" And then if you go to verse 25, "Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, 'You are not also one of his disciples, are you?' And he denied it and said, 'I am not.' One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, 'Did I not see you in the garden with him?' Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed." Peter denied being with Jesus in the garden. He denied he was a disciple of Jesus. He denied he even knew Jesus. Peter learned the hard way his inability to endure with his human strength. Failure is a part of the maturing process. Pressures from within, pressures from the world, wrong choices, in tough times, if we rely on our own strength, we will fail. Hebrews 4:16, though, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus Christ will strengthen you. The goal of discipleship, well, John chapter 21, let's look at that chapter. It's been a long journey. 3 years, the cross, the resurrection, and Jesus is still about to stretch them even more. Verses 1 and 2 of John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. They must trust his power in obedience. Verse 6, and he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Peter then received received a private classroom, verse 15 to verse 17, again. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again, a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Discipleship matures into ministry to others. Follow me. Feed my sheep. You follow me. Verse 20, down to verse 22. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is this one who betrays you? And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Jesus wants each of his disciples to follow him regardless of what others do. He has a special call for each disciple. Lord, who is the one who betrays you? What about this guy? Don't you worry about that. You just follow me. Do you love him? Will you follow him regardless of what others do? Because he does have a special call for you to be his disciple and to make disciples. You have a great day.